I'm Marty Moss-Cohen. Welcome back to Radio Times. Pennsylvania is one of a number of states that passed laws requiring that all voters have an approved identification when they go to the polls to cast their ballot. Earlier this year, the Pennsylvania Secretary of the Commonwealth, Carol Achel, estimated that 80,000 registered voters would not have a valid photo ID under the new law. Last week, her office announced that 758,000 do not have the proper ID. That's almost 10% of registered Pennsylvania voters and about 18% in the city of Philadelphia. This finding is based on PennDOT databases. The Pennsylvania law has been challenged, saying it violates the state constitution by depriving citizens of the right to vote. This case will be heard by a judge later this month. Today on Radio Times, we continue our conversation about Pennsylvania's voter ID law, and we begin our conversation with Ron Ruman. He's spokesperson for the Pennsylvania Department of State. And Ron Ruman, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Nice to be here, Marty. Thank you.
You're welcome. And the lines are open at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. How could the Secretary and the Department of State be so wrong about the numbers of people, of registered voters in Pennsylvania who do not have the proper ID? A couple of months ago, it was 1% of voters, and today it's 10% of voters.
Well, there's a couple of things that are not actually correct in that statement, Marty. The first number we were using was an estimate. We were asked by the legislature last fall to provide an estimate which was needed for the legislation, and we took the best information we had at that time, which was the number of eligible voters in Pennsylvania, and ran that against the number of IDs that PennDOT had issued to people 18 and older. That's where we came up with a difference of about 1%, which actually I think was around 90,000. I think the Secretary may have said 80,000 at one point. It was about 90,000. What we did recently then is we matched our voter registration database with PennDOT's ID database to the extent that we could, and that's where we came up with a number of about just over 9% of registered voters who did not match the PennDOT ID system. So these are folks who do not match having a PennDOT ID. It's important to note a few things in here, and it's a little complicated. I'll do it as quickly and simply as I can. First of all, these are just PennDOT IDs. It does not take into account any other acceptable IDs that folks may use, including college student IDs with an expiration date, which many colleges do now have, care facility IDs. If someone's in a nursing home, personal care home, or assisted living facility, they can have an ID made by that facility, military IDs, passports, employee IDs from the federal, state, or a county or municipal government. So many of these folks may have those IDs. In addition, if you'll look at the information we put out last week, in Philadelphia in particular, of 186,000 voters who did not match as having a PennDOT ID, about 50,000 of those are what are called inactive voters, the bulk of whom have not voted since 2007. Our experience tells us that most of these folks are no longer voting for whatever reason. In many cases, they've moved out of state and didn't cancel their registration. A lot of these folks are college students that registered to vote here and then moved away after they completed college. And the final point is that we could not match exactly these databases. The problem is if your name is different at all on your voter registration and your PennDOT ID, you will not show up as a match. We actually found a person here at the Department of State who is in that situation. Her name is Anna Nicole. I'll use Jones as her last name. It's not a real last name, but she said on her voter reg she is Anna N. Jones, but her license is A. Nicole Jones. She goes by Nicole. If you use a middle initial on one and not on the other, it's not going to show as a match. So there are some folks that actually are on this list who do have IDs. So it's obviously the number is not 1%, but there are a number of factors which need to be considered when you look at the overall number.
But it is a pretty dramatic difference between the estimate and what we're talking about today. And it's interesting that the legislation was voted on using the estimated information, 80 to 90,000. Now we're talking about hundreds of thousands of voters in Pennsylvania who may have a problem voting this fall if they don't take the proper steps to get the right identification.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head there. The folks need to take the proper steps to get that identification. And we have been trying to reach out to voters, and we'll continue to do that, and we'll increase our outreach in the 4 months remaining before now an election day to urge everyone if they do not have an ID, to get a free ID to vote. And if they have questions about that, they can go to our website at votespa.com, or there's a toll-free number, which is 1-877-VOTES-PA, and they can get those questions answered.
The supporters of this legislation say that this is to protect the integrity of the vote in Pennsylvania. But the administrative office of the Pennsylvania courts, quoted in the Philadelphia Inquirer earlier this spring, no one has been convicted of voter impersonation in Pennsylvania in the last 5 years. The County Commissioners Association has not heard of allegations of voter impersonation. What is the purpose of this law?
The purpose of the law is to protect the integrity of each vote, because right now we do not have a reliable way to verify the identity of each voter at the polls. And so the reason you don't see a lot of convictions for this potentially is that there's really no way to check for that. So folks who look for, well, a large number of convictions, it's not going to happen when you have no reliable way to detect whether this is occurring. Now, the County Commissioners Association, you know, made that comment, but we have heard from commissioners that they hear reports of these things, you know, each election, but there's no reliable way to really check on that. This will provide that. It will not prohibit anyone who's legally entitled to vote from doing so, but will give us, for the first time in Pennsylvania, a reliable way to verify the identity of each voter, and thereby protect those legal votes from being impacted by illegal ballots.
But you're telling us that there are voters in Pennsylvania who are breaking the law, risking jail and fining so that they can vote more than once?
Or vote when they aren't the person that they claim to be. We don't know that right now. And this will give us the way to detect that and make sure that it doesn't happen.
But when it comes to absentee voting in Pennsylvania, if you don't have a photo identification, you can use the last four digits of your Social Security number. So it seems like there's one law for people voting in person and a different law for people who are voting absentee.
Well, it's all part of the same law, and it does require that identification of your social, last four of your social, which is not required now, and that will, we think, make it more difficult for someone that wants to do the illegal absentee type of registration that we saw. And then, Marty, I know you recall when Secretary Achol was on a few months ago, we discussed that happened during the Mark Stinson state senate election in Philadelphia about 18 years ago that was thrown out by a federal judge. Because of the massive absentee ballot fraud there, that type of thing we think will make it much more difficult to do that, because you'll have to get that extra piece of information and put that on the absentee ballot application. That was added at Governor Corbett's insistence to include absentee ballots on this legislation.
But you and the Secretary believe that there is widespread voter impersonation fraud in Pennsylvania.
No, what I said is we don't have a way to check that. We don't have a way to know whether it's happening right now. And this will give us the tool to do that. The secretary was a county commissioner in Chester County, as you know, and she had said that during the 7 years she was commissioner, involved very much with the elections process, that they would hear reports of things happening, but there was no valid way to check on it. So this will give us that that tool that we simply don't have now.
This is a case, obviously, that's going before a judge at the end of the month. How is the state and perhaps the secretary's office, how are they going to present or even defend this law before a judge? Don't you need, you know, evidence that there is fraud in order to have a law like this?
Well, I really can't comment on what's going to happen with the lawsuit, and you know, that's that'll be debated and discussed by the lawyers. So, again, our purpose for the legislation, as we've kind of discussed here, was to protect the integrity of every vote. The United States Constitution, Article 1, Section 4, says the times, places, and manner of holding elections will be prescribed in each state by the legislature. So, not a lawyer, but I would think that what the Pennsylvania legislature does has done as prescribed part of the manner of holding elections in Pennsylvania is you will show a photo ID.
Mike Terzai, I guess now famously or maybe infamously said, he's the House Republican leader, said recently he was speaking at a state Republican meeting, quote, voter ID, which is going to allow Governor Romney to win the state of Pennsylvania, done. Basically saying that voter ID is going to allow Romney to win the state of Pennsylvania, obviously up against President Obama. He didn't talk about voter fraud. He didn't talk about the problems of voter impersonation in the state. He talked about Romney winning the state of Pennsylvania.
Well, Representative Terzai's comments do not reflect the position of the Corbett administration or the Pennsylvania Department of State. And Marty, I'd like to make one other point. We're talking about numbers of folks that don't have IDs or do or reasons for the law. The fact is, right now, this is the law. Now, court may rule otherwise, but unless and until it does, it is the law. And our efforts are focused at this point in time on getting the word out to people about the law, what IDs are acceptable, and where to get more information, how to get an ID if you need one. And I would simply urge everyone to do that. Unless things change, you're going to need an ID to vote in November. And we want everyone who wants to vote and who's a legal voter to be able to do so. And I want to pat on the back one particular group in Philadelphia, and that's the Committee of 70. They have been doing outstanding work on getting the word out. They opposed this law, but we met with them before it passed, and their comments were, once this becomes law, because they felt it would, we want to make sure everyone gets the word. And that's what we want to do, too.
Okay, and right? I have to say, Ron, only because we have a member of the Committee of 70 waiting to join us after this very short break, but let me get Lola from Bucks County to join us. And Lola, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hello.
Hi there, Lola.
Thanks, Marty.
You're welcome.
I'm 87, and I do have an expired ID, and I was hospitalized for about a month because I fell. I'm a church organist, and I believe it or not, I fell in church.
Oh dear!
I slipped and fell in church.
Oh dear!
Fell on my side, and my left hip wound up with two pins in it.
Oh dear!
So. I'm fine though. I'm moving around. I'm in my own home, but these people are making it very difficult for a lot of people. I guess I don't know. There was nothing wrong with. We were doing fine because I used to help at the polls, and people come in and they show their driver's license. They show everything. You got all the IDs you need, and then they're in the book. And the book that they get from Harrisburg, you have to double check. So everything's. It's valid. Everything is above board.
Well, Lola,
and I don't know why they're making it such a difficult system now.
Well, Ron, let me give you 30 seconds. I apologize for that. 30 seconds to respond. Go ahead, Ron.
Well, if Lola has an expired license, all she needs to do is go to the PennDOT Driver License Center, give them that information. She doesn't even need to have the expired license itself. She's already in the system. She presented proof of ID when she got the license. They'll look that up. If she needs to update her address, she can do that. They'll take a new picture of her, and she'll walk away with her photo ID that day. So that's a very simple process for her to get a photo ID.
Lola, thanks for the call to Radio Times. Ron Ruman, thank you for joining us as well.
All right. Thanks, Marty.
You're welcome. Spokesperson for the Pennsylvania Department of State. We have two guests waiting in the wings and taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. We're talking about Pennsylvania's voter ID law. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Supporting WHYY, New York Presbyterian, the new documentary series New York Med captures the real-life drama at New York Presbyterian, airing Tuesdays at 10 p.m. on ABC.
This is Jeff Bundy, WHYY's Director of Member Relations. On August 3rd, WHYY-TV and PBS stations across the country will be premiering a new documentary produced locally by WHYY. The Barnes Collection tells the story of Dr. Albert C. Barnes and his impressive art collection. Support WHYY's local productions with a $120 donation and we'll thank you by sending you two tickets to visit the Barnes Foundation's new home on the Ben Franklin Parkway. Call 1-888-345-9499 or visit WHYY.org.
Stretching a budget, juggling tight deadlines and schedules, and dealing with some very tough customers. Maybe the best training for running a business is being a mom. We'll talk with a group of mom entrepreneurs about the challenges of building a successful company while keeping your family happy. Is it possible? Next time on Tell Me More.
This afternoon at 1 on WHYY.
PNC Bank and the Barnes Foundation support WHYY and welcome visitors to the Barnes in Philadelphia to experience the vast collection of Picassos, Matisses, Renoirs, and Cezannes in their new home. For details on tickets and programs, barnesfoundation.org.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen. Pennsylvania's voter ID law was passed by the legislature earlier this year and signed by Governor Corbett. It was given a test run during the spring primary. The law has been challenged. It will be heard in court later this month. We just said goodbye to Ron Ruman. He's spokesperson for the Pennsylvania Department of State. And now we say hello to Jennifer Clark, executive director of the Public Interest Law Center of Philadelphia. And the Law Center, along with other groups, is challenging the voter ID law in Pennsylvania, saying it violates the Pennsylvania Constitution. And Jenny Clark, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Good to be here, Marty.
Also with us is Ellen Madelman Kaplan, and she is Vice President, Policy Director of the Committee of 70, just mentioned by Ron Ruman, and they work on fair elections issues here in the city of Philadelphia. It's a nonpartisan, not-for-profit group, and Ellen, nice to have you back with us on Radio Times.
Thank you. Good to be here.
And a full bank of calls here, and I do want to get to our call because we want to talk about some of these constitutional issues at stake and also some of the nuts and bolts of understanding the law and, of course, getting people registered to vote. Jenny Clark, why do you think this law was passed in Pennsylvania?
I think the law was passed to suppress votes.
Do you?
I do. There is lots of evidence. We talked about the numbers. There's lots of evidence that many, many, many people do not have IDs, and there's not enough time to get everybody IDs. So you have that on the one hand, lots of votes suppressed. On the other hand, you have no reason, no good reason. The fact that there could be voter fraud, there could not, but it's the solution. It's a solution in search of a problem.
You're part of a lawsuit that's challenging this law, basically.
Yes.
Saying that it denies people the right to vote, a very basic right.
Right. The Pennsylvania Constitution has a fundamental right to vote in it. And what we're saying is that this law burdens that fundamental right with no legitimate reason.
I had mentioned to Ron Ruben about the absentee voter, because it seems as if there are two criteria, that an absentee voter doesn't have to go through quite the same hurdles.
That's right. The lawsuit also has an equal protection claim. So the equal protection clauses of the Pennsylvania Constitution say if you're going to treat people differently, it has to be rational. And you've pointed out one of the many irrational differences that are drawn between people. If you're voting absentee, you don't have to show ID. In fact, absentee ballot is the one place where there has been voter fraud. On the other hand, where there hasn't been any demonstrated voter fraud, in-person impersonation, you do have to show ID. So we're showing that there are differences that are drawn between people that just don't make sense.
I'm asking you to help us understand the other side, but this is going to go to a judge later this month. But doesn't the state have to prove that there is some kind of voter fraud? Isn't it their responsibility to say voter impersonation exists in Pennsylvania, and that's why we need this law?
Well, what you heard Mr. Ruman say is he didn't really say there is voter fraud, because there isn't. So instead, he said we're going to protect the integrity of the voting process. So the arguments will be, well, what is the integrity of the voting process? Isn't the whole integrity of the voting process destroyed if you have hundreds of thousands of people who can't vote, as balanced against somebody's imagined voter impersonation fraud?
The lead petitioner in this lawsuit is a 93-year-old African-American woman. Her name is Viviette Applewhite. Why was she chosen as the lead petitioner, or how did that happen that she became the lead petitioner?
Well, Mrs. Applewhite is a woman who's voted ever since black people were allowed to vote in this country in 1960. She marched with Martin Luther King, and we thought that the symbolism of a person who cares deeply about voting possibly not being able to vote was a very powerful symbol.
And she possibly can't vote under this law?
Well, so far she doesn't have identification. She tried for several years to get the birth certificate that you need to get ID. Her birth certificate arrived shortly after the lawsuit was filed, but now she has other issues, the many complex issues that people face. Her birth certificate doesn't match her voter registration. She has to get there. There are many complexities. At least as of now, she will not be able to vote. And if she can vote, it will take many, many steps to get there.
Let me turn to you, Ellen. And where does the Committee of 70 stand on this voter ID law in Pennsylvania?
As Mr. Ruman pointed out, the Committee of 70 has been opposed to the voter ID law. But now that it is the law, the job of the Committee of 70, along with 100 other groups, and Public Interest Law Center of Philadelphia is among them, is to conduct an aggressive nonpartisan campaign to make sure that any voter who does not have an acceptable form of ID to bring to the polls in November is able to get one. And Lola, who called in earlier, if you call this number, 1-866-687-8683, we'll make sure that you get to a PennDOT driver's license center so that you are able to vote. And that's one thing that the groups are doing, helping people make sure that they get the documents they need in order to vote.
I began with Ron Ruman talking about this new report from the Pennsylvania Department of State, something like 758,000 registered voters in Pennsylvania not having the right ID. That's a lot of people. As Ron was saying, it may not apply to everybody, but that's still hundreds of thousands of people in Pennsylvania, registered voters without the proper ID.
And we don't even know about the people who are going to register between now and October 9th, which is the deadline for registering to vote in November. So a lot of people who will register to vote over the next few months may also not have the kind of IDs that you need to bring to the polls.
So what kind of IDs do you need to have?
You need to have a number of IDs. I'll go through them very quickly.
Okay.
One is a Pennsylvania driver's license. It can be expired, but no more than 12 months as of the time you're casting a vote. So if it expires on November 5th, you're out of luck in voting on November 6th. But if it expires on November 7th, that's okay. You can bring that to the polls. The same is true for a photo ID issued by the Department of Transportation. That's not a driver's license. People are eligible to get a non-driver's photo ID, and again, that can be expired less than 12 months at the time the voter is casting the vote. Another one is a currently valid U.S. passport. By that I mean expired passports will not be accepted. I'll keep going quickly.
Keep going. This is important.
An active duty or retired U.S. military ID, including IDs for members of the Pennsylvania National Guard. And if you have a military ID and it says that the expiration date is indefinite, that is okay. However, if someone who is a dependent, a military dependent ID, they can use that ID, mm-hmm. but it has to not be an expired ID. Another ID is a currently valid employee ID issued by the federal, Pennsylvania, county, or municipal government. And again, let me tell people that the ID used by the City of Philadelphia is not at this moment a valid ID because it does not have an expiration date on it. Another ID is a valid ID issued by an accredited Pennsylvania university, college, seminary, community college, or two-year college. And that can be used by students, faculty, employees, and alumni. But again, and this is an important point, there was a study done of 110 accredited Pennsylvania colleges and universities. 91 did not have the proper ID. And in the City of Philadelphia, I believe the University of Pennsylvania was the only school with a proper ID. Temple and Penn State are changing their IDs, and you can do that just by putting a sticker on your photo ID to show a valid expiration date. And the last form of ID is an ID that's issued by a Pennsylvania care facility, and by that I mean a long-term nursing facility, assisted living residence, or personal care home. Residents of care facilities and employees of those facilities are able to use those photo IDs as long as they're not expired.
Mm. And this expiration date seems to be an important issue, Jenny.
Well, it is important, and it is confusing. I think that one of the things that you've heard is that there are so many ins and outs that people who think that they have valid ID may well get to the polls and find out that they don't. It's one of the many problems that we see with the law. In addition to the difficulties of people who don't have ID, can't get ID, just the fact that people don't know sitting here today and won't know until they show up at the polls that they don't have the right expiration date or that their ID is not by the right municipality. There are many issues, and the expiration date is only one of them.
And if people go to the state website, are they going to find up-to-date information?
No. The state website does not have all of the information that people need to know. Just one example is Mr. Ruman mentioned that if your ID is expired, and even if it's been expired for many years, you can go back to the Department of Transportation and get an identification for purposes of voting. That is not on the Department of Transportation or the Department of State's websites. There are a number of other things. The state recently said that if you were born in Pennsylvania, you don't have to use your birth certificate to get a photo ID, which is a great thing for Pennsylvania-born residents, not for other people born in other places. But the form that you have to fill out to do that is not on the website. So you have to you can't prepare yourself to have all of the information to when you get to the Department of Motor Vehicles. So there are a number of things that aren't on the website that are confusing, and yet another problem that people have in trying to get ID and trying to vote.
And Alan, I know the Committee of 70, part of a large number of groups educating people, trying to figure out how to make this law work so that people can exercise their right to vote. Is it confusing? And I have to say, I've got papers spread all over the table here. We've done several shows about this, and I still always need a refresher course every time we do a show about this.
You and everybody else, the Department of State, of course, is dealing with this law for the first time, just like everybody else is. And it is certainly true that not all of the information is on the website, and I think all of us, including the Department of State, are having a hard time trying to keep track of things as they go along. But it's really important, and I think it's that your listeners need to know this, that they have accurate, up-to-date information on how to go about getting a photo ID from PennDOT, which is free, if they don't already have one. The information is up to date on the Committee of 70's website, which is www.70, that's spelled out SEVENTY.org/voter ID. And again, I'll say the phone number, 1-866-687-8683. If you have a specific question relating to voter ID and how you can get an ID, please call.
You do have to go, though, in person to a PennDOT office. Is that correct? You can't do this over the phone, or can you?
No, you can. And it's not every PennDOT office. It has to be a PennDOT driver's license center. And it doesn't have to be a driver's license center in your home county. You can go to any PennDOT driver's license center. But as Jenny just pointed out, if you don't want to get a copy of your Pennsylvania birth certificate, and many people don't because it costs $10 in order to get one, you can go to PennDOT, and they can help you get one. But you have to first go to PennDOT and fill out a form that's not available on a website. And then you have to go back to PennDOT in order to get the actual photo ID.
Let me just do a follow-up, and then I do want to get to our callers to you, Jenny Clark. One of the criticisms, I'm not sure if your organization buys into this or not, but this is, in a sense, a poll tax because people might have to pay actual money to get the proper ID, whether it's a birth certificate or something like that.
That is one of the criticisms that we're launching. Although the ID that you get at PennDOT is free, the documents that you need to present to PennDOT are not necessarily free. For example, if I was born in North Carolina and I don't have a birth certificate, I may well have to pay North Carolina to get my birth certificate. I have to bring a Social Security card. I may have to do that. So this is like many other things that impose another burden. It's like having to own land. It's like having to pay a poll tax. It's an additional cost.
Mm. Let me get, looks like Carol from Chester Springs to join us on Radio Times. And Carol, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
I would like to know, I always like simple solutions, and it occurred to me that why not issue voter registration IDs at the polls? And even if it's difficult for people for this upcoming election, it certainly would cure the problem for the future. I mean, why make people go around in circles and have such a difficult time when you could just do this at the poll?
The idea of everything kind of computerized at that poll, is that what you're saying, Carol?
Well, I don't know how it would be done, but, right. You know, it just seems to me that that would be the place to do it.
Well, Ellen, what are your thoughts?
Well, I
simple
hope,
solution, I don't know.
I hope Mr. Ruman is still listening to this show, and those are the kinds of ideas that, Carol, we hope that you'll submit to the State Department, because I think one thing that's very important to understand about the voter ID law is that it's part of a whole effort that people around the state are engaging in to try to make it easier for voters to participate in elections, not harder. So get those ideas to the State Department.
Carol, thanks for the call. Go ahead, Jenny.
Carol, I would say that it's when you talk about a solution, we don't really have a problem. We already have a process in place. You walk in to your polling place. Your poll workers probably already know you. You have to sign your name in a signature book that already has your signature. And if you sign the name of someone else, you're committing a felony. So we really already have a pretty decent system in place. There's been no prosecutions for in-person voter fraud. So I would say the simple solution is let's keep it the way it is.
Mm. And for new voters, or say you're new to a polling place, you have to present some kind of ID, don't you?
Right. Under federal law, you do have to present some sort of ID, but it's a much broader range of documents than our Pennsylvania statute provides.
Pennsylvania is one of a number of states that's instituted these new voter ID laws. How do you see this trend?
Well, I see the trend as being troublesome, for one. I mean, as Americans, I think we all believe that every person, every registered citizen should be able to vote. And what we see is a growing number of states that are putting barriers in the way for people to vote. And the people that are having the barriers erected tend to be poor, they tend to be minorities, they tend to be young, and they tend to be old.
And do they tend to vote Democratic?
Our lawsuit is a nonpartisan lawsuit. We would be challenging this law no matter how they voted. But what I can say is that the very people who are being disenfranchised, the poor and the minority people, young people, are the very people whose voices need to be heard.
Let's take another short break. We'll get back to our conversation. We have a full bank of calls here. We're talking about Pennsylvania's new voter ID law. Jenny Clark, the voice you just heard, executive director of the Public Interest Law Center of Philadelphia. They filed a lawsuit along with other groups against the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, alleging the voter ID law violates the state's constitution. Ellen Madelman Kaplan is vice president and policy director of the Committee of 70, a nonpartisan, not-for-profit fair elections group. Stay with us. Much more after this very short break. We'll be right back.
Next time in Studio 360, computers are getting smarter and smarter, but will they ever think like us?
No machine is ever going to experience the rest of the world in the same way that a human being does.
Can computers be creative? We'll try to find out next time in Studio 360 from PRI and WNYC.
Tonight at 9 on WHYY.
On the next Fresh Air, will there be civil war in Afghanistan after the U.S. leaves? We talk with Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist Dexter Filkins about his article, After America, in The New Yorker. He covered the war in Iraq for The New York Times. He first reported from Afghanistan in 1998. Join us. this afternoon at 3 and again tonight at 7 on WHYY.
I'm Robin Young. Join us next time for the news and these stories here and now. Has there been a breakthrough in fighting cancer? Genetic researchers have been sequencing a patient's genes to create a cocktail of drugs to fight the disease. Is this a game changer? Also, baseball at the All-Star break, the Pirates, the big surprise, the Red Sox, not so much. That's Public Radio's Daily Digest of news and culture here and now.
Today at noon on WHYY.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscowen talking about Pennsylvania's new voter ID law, voter photo ID law, with Jenny Clark and Ellen Madelman Kaplan talking about some of the constitutional issues it raises and some of the nuts and bolts about how to get people to register to vote and exercise their right to vote. And we're taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. Looks like Sharon from Norristown to join us. And Sharon, go ahead. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just want to announce a voter ID clinic that's happening this Saturday in Norristown. It's from 10 to 3. And what we do is sit down with people one-on-one and help them get together the forms and the documents that they need to get a photo ID.
Well, go ahead, Sharon.
Okay, we're located at the New Life Plaza, 25 East Marshall Street, Norristown. And also at 10 o'clock on Saturday, we will train people who want to learn how to set up similar clinics in their own locations.
Well, Sharon,
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I appreciate the call to Radio Times and picks up on what Ellen was talking about, which it sounds like there are voter registration efforts, drives across the state. I mean, in response, I guess, to this new law.
Right. There are many communities all across Pennsylvania that are sponsoring clinics, not just to register voters and certainly to educate them at the same time, but to help voters who are already registered get a photo ID for voting from PennDOT.
All right. Anything you want to add? Yeah, go
ahead. Yes, what we worry about is I am so happy about Sharon's work and the Committee of 70's work, but when you take the number of people we're talking about and take the number of days or man hours between now and Election Day, I just don't see how we can do it. When you do the math, we can't get everybody ID.
Is that going to be one of the arguments made before the judge that this law cannot be implemented?
Yes, yes.
In a timely manner?
There, really, when you take the vast number of people, and of course we have counties which don't have any Department of Motor Vehicle office at all. We have some places that only have an office that's open one day a week for 6 hours in the middle of the day. So we were very worried about however many voter drives there are, how are people going to physically be able to get everybody to PennDOT with all the right documents? And don't forget, there are documents that you have to take with you.
Physically take with you.
Right, right. Birth certificates, social security numbers.
Did you want to add something to that, Ellen?
We're terribly worried, too, which is why we're really urging everyone, even those of you who have a photo ID that's acceptable at the polls, think about all the people who are potentially at risk. Talk to everyone you know to let them know that they need to start the process now. You can't wake up on November 1st with the election a few days away and say, whoops, I don't have the right kind of ID. It's something that has to be done now, because as Jenny said, you can't get a photo ID for voting overnight.
And if you go to your polls and what's written on the document there and what you have in your hand, do they absolutely have to match? You know what I mean? I mean, does it have to have your full name, and do they have to match? What the poll worker is looking at and what you give them, does it have to be exactly the same?
Well, that's an interesting point, because I know, for one, that my driver's license says Ellen Madelman Kaplan, and I'm registered as Ellen Kaplan. So I believe that they will be accepted if the photo matches if you are able to give them a photo ID.
So that's go ahead.
This is one of the many problems with this law. Maybe the poll worker likes Ellen Madelman Kaplan's face and will allow her to vote even though her registration, voter registration, doesn't match her ID. But there's a lot of discretion given to the individual poll workers as to whether or not to accept a name that doesn't match. Mm. There are many people whose names don't match at all, and women, for example, who are married, and they will not be able to vote. That will be a problem. If it's close, it's up to the poll worker, and that's another problem here. There's so many places where there's a judgment call. If you are the right kind of person and your poll worker likes you, maybe you'll be able to vote, and if not, maybe you won't.
Well, and just to add to that, it is possible then to vote in a provisional ballot, or I guess using a provisional ballot, and then you have, what, a week or so to bring the proper documentation?
Right. If you arrive at the polls and you tell the poll workers that you can't afford to get a document, let's say you tell them, I can't afford to get my birth certificate because it costs $10 and I don't have $10, you can vote by paper ballot, which is a provisional ballot. But in order for the provisional ballot to count, you have 6 calendar days after the election to provide your county board of elections with a form that you will get when you go to the polls that says that you are the same person that voted by provisional ballot and that you couldn't afford to get a photo ID for voting. You also have to vote by provisional ballot if you show up at the polls without an ID, even if you had one. Let's say you have a driver's license, but you went to the polls and forgot it at home. You also have to vote provisionally.
There's a couple of problems with the provisional ballot part. One is that no one really knows what it means to say I'm too poor to get ID. There's no definition in the statute. So that, again, will be up to the person sitting in the voting place. And who knows how that's going to be interpreted. You're also supposed to sign some sort of document that swears that you are too poor to get ID. No one's seen that document. We don't know what it looks like. We don't know who's supposed to write it or how it's supposed to be created. One other problem is if you don't have ID and you think you're going to go to PennDOT, forget it, because PennDOT is going to be closed on the Saturday after election and the Monday after election. So if you think what you're going to do is run over to PennDOT after the election to get your ID, you've only got Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Mm. Let me get, it looks like Vera from Kennett Square to join us on Radio Times. And Vera, go ahead, you're on the air.
Yes, hi.
Hi there.
For me, this about having ID and people making such a federal case out of it is totally unbelievable, ludicrous. I am European. I have lived in South America and the Middle East, and I live here, and I can't understand how can you not have an ID. And I think that's very important for identification and for everything else. And so I just am shaking my head.
Well,
I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. I appreciate the phone call. Let me give Jenny Clark a chance to respond to that.
Well, Vera, the fact is that as we heard on the 3rd of July, 759,000 people in 100,000 people in Pennsylvania don't have either a PennDOT ID or an ID. Whether having an ID is a good idea or a bad idea is a different question. Lots of the people who are our clients would like to have ID. But it costs money, and it's hard, and you have to have all these other documents to get it. So really the question here is not about is it good or bad to have an ID. The question is, do we put a burden on people so that in order to vote? And at least in this country, we have rejected that. We rejected the poll tax. We rejected the obligation to own land, and we rejected literacy tests.
And we don't have a national ID.
Right. There isn't one simple ID to get.
You want to add to that?
Right. Vera, and I certainly appreciate your point of view, but we hear from so many senior citizens who used to have driver's licenses, but they no longer have them, and they don't travel anymore, so they don't have a valid U.S. passport. So I think you'd be very surprised to hear how many people don't have an acceptable form of photo ID and why.
Vera, thanks for the call. Let's see what Keith from Doylestown has to say. And Keith, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
My question is it a coincidence that there are multiple states passing the same law or in the process of passing the same law, like Florida and Texas, and they all have Republican governors? And I'll take my answer off the air.
Keith, thanks for the call to Radio Times. Do you see a coincidence there, Jenny?
No. No. I mean, clearly there has been an effort to have these laws passed throughout the country. And they have been passed, and they are being challenged, sometimes successfully and sometimes mm-hmm. not.
But what you said earlier is that your organization would be taking this suit to court no matter which party signed off on it.
Yes, we would. We would. This is a nonpartisan lawsuit because we and the ACLU and Advancement Project believe very strongly that voting is one of the most important rights that we as Americans have. And I don't care who's being denied the vote.
We were talking about the lead petitioner, a 93-year-old woman named Viviette Applewhite. Are most of the petitioners old or older?
Most of the petitioners are older because many people don't have birth certificates. They don't have, as Ellen said, they don't have driver's licenses anymore. So many of them are older people. But not all.
Where does the Committee of 70 stand on this lawsuit? Are you staying kind of neutral, or are you in any way affiliated with?
On the lawsuit, I have the Pennsylvania Voter ID Coalition, again, which is a nonpartisan coalition, is that I think right now we're afraid mm-hmm. to gamble on what the outcome of the lawsuit would be. We don't know what the Pennsylvania courts are going to rule. We don't know when the ruling is going to come down, and we don't want to waste any valuable time that people could be using in order to get a photo ID for voting if they don't already have one. If the lawsuit turns out to invalidate the voter ID law, then the worst that will happen is that lots and lots of people will have a photo ID for voting that they don't have to use.
Tell us a little bit about this judge that will be hearing this case, Jenny.
Judge Simpson is a judge in the Commonwealth Court of Pennsylvania. That's a special court for matters involving the government of Pennsylvania. He is going to be, I know, a fair judge. I know he'll hear the evidence and apply the law as he sees it.
And depending on how he rules, can the state or would your organization appeal that? Does he have the final say before the election?
No, he doesn't. Depending on what he does, then either side can ask the Pennsylvania Supreme Court to hear the case. So very likely will be the Pennsylvania Supreme Court that will have the last mm-hmm. word on it.
And how does Pennsylvania compare to some of these other states that have passed these voter ID laws?
Well, there have been some challenges. The state of Missouri has a constitution just like ours and a law very similar, and that the court there struck down the law. Similarly, in Wisconsin, there's a similar law, and that court, too, struck it down.
Oh, interesting. And is the federal government in any way involved in this?
No.
Justice Department?
No, this is not a case under the U.S. Constitution. And the Justice Department is involved in laws that are in the South where there has been a documented history of discrimination. So, for example, in Texas, Texas tried to do one of these kinds of laws, and because it had a documented history of discrimination, the Justice Department told it couldn't do that, and now there's a trial on that issue. But that's a little bit different because it's federal law, it's a federal court, and the federal law doesn't have a constitutional right to vote, which Pennsylvania does.
Interesting. Let me get, looks like George from Lansdale. Let's get George to join our conversation. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Yes, in the state of Pennsylvania, we're required to have a photo ID, government-issued photo ID, and give them our social security number to obtain a fishing license. And to get in access to public and federal and airports, many times a photo ID is required. I guess I question which is more important to democracy, being able to prove who you are to vote or prove who you are to get a fishing license.
Well, George, let me see
Answer offline.
No, I appreciate the call to Radio Times. Let me see what Ellen Kaplan says.
First of all, George, I just want to just make clear that it's not just a government-issued ID that will be accepted at the polls. So it's really important for voters to know all the different forms of IDs that will be accepted at the polls in November. in terms of the ID and whether there should be one, and is it important to have it in one context or another? Again, I would agree with Jenny. In this case, it's a matter of is the voter ID law the proper remedy for a problem that many people believe does not exist, which is voter impersonation at the polls, or certainly doesn't exist in such a pervasive way that required voter ID law for Pennsylvania.
I mean, what we're hearing from a couple of our callers, Jenny, is they're saying, look, you need a photo ID to do X, Y, and Z. Why not voting?
Right. Well, I would actually turn George's question around. Phishing is a privilege, and going on to the airport is a privilege, but the right to vote is a right. It's part of who we are as Americans. And so although we agree that you should have to pay money to buy a phishing license because it's a privilege, and we all agree that you have to pay to go on an airplane, but voting you don't have to pay for because it's part of who we are as Americans. It's kind of like public education. So I would turn it around, and I would say it's okay to make it harder to fish, but it's not okay to make it harder to vote.
And we almost have no time to have you flesh that out, but explain the difference there again between privilege and right.
Well, a privilege is something that maybe you can do and maybe you cannot. You earn it. You earn the right to fish. You go and you get a license. But voting, it's part of being an American. You don't have to earn the right to vote. Again, it's not like you used to have a property or you had to pay something or you had to take a test. It's part of being an American. So it's not something that you have to jump over hurdles to get.
Well, on that note, my thanks to both of you for joining us today on Radio Times. Jenny Clark, Executive Director of the Public Interest Law Center of Philadelphia, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Ellen Madelman Kaplan, Vice President and Policy Director of the Committee of 70. Ellen, thank you very much.
Thank you, Marty.
You're welcome. And we began our conversation with Ron Ruman, spokesperson for the Pennsylvania Department of State. Go to whyy.org/radiotimes to find out more about this program. Kevin Griffin, the engineer for today's edition of the show, was produced by Susan Greenbaum, Patty McMahon, Dennis Devine, and Debbie Bilder. I'm Marty Moscowen. Thank you so much for joining us. And do stay.